When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Episode 420, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Trade deadline's over. Next episode, we'll talk about all the league-wide trades. Today, we'll talk mainly Sabres, Kevin Adams' press conference, Bowen Byram's debut, Kyle Okposo traded away, Eric Johnson gone as expected, a minor league deal in there somewhere, Devin Cooley going to San Jose. So they were active. Kevin Adams was active. Was he as active as we would have liked to have been? We'll talk about that. There is one note I would like to make quickly. I'm disappointed for one player. I'm really disappointed. I was really looking to see where this player was going to get traded to. And I'm sorry that
Zemgus. Who's that?
I'm Zemgus Girgensons. I was disappointed that he wasn't able to go to a team where he could help someone or be a part of a team going to the playoffs. I think that would have been... That's the one thing I wanted to see. I was expecting Kyle to get traded. Casey had already been traded before the deadline. I wasn't really expecting much more after that. I mean, I think we knew Eric Johnson was going somewhere. But I wanted to see Zemgus. I was hoping to just see that Zemgus Girgensons deal roll through where I could say, good for him.
Yeah, both those guys need to be very pleased. There's no question about that. Kyle Okposo going to the top team in the National Hockey League right now, Florida Panthers. And they're a team that just they seem to have a really tight group in Florida. They're finding ways to win. They have the high-end skill, the defense, the goaltending. It's going to be a very, very tough team to play in the playoffs. And I think Kyle Okposo going there with his leadership ability and ability to I think Kyle is smart enough to understand that how he needs to fit in. I think he'll kind of figure that out as he goes along in Florida. But, I mean, what a great pickup for Florida to get that veteran player, guy that's played in the playoffs. And I'm really, really happy for Okposo. You know, went through a lot here in Buffalo.
I'm fine with what Kevin Adams did. I thought he said some really good things in the press conference. I thought he acknowledged a lot of things that I think he's realizing. You know, we can't be afraid to give up, you know, picks and prospects to maybe go and get a player that, you know, might add something in our lineup right away. Like he said that at, like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into his press conference. And I thought that was the most important thing. That means he has a plan for the offseason. He talked about talking to other teams about veteran centermen and things like that. I mean, now whether these conversations are real or he's just saying it to please the crowd, that's, I don't know, but at least he's saying the right things. Getting those deals done though, and that's going to be a completely different story, but not doing them now, if you could have done them now, I think that's a mistake, but we won't know those conversations.
He traded away the guys that he needed to trade away. Kyle Okposo, Eric Johnson going to, I think it was Philadelphia, right? Obviously I know for a fact that he would have tried hard to move on Victor Olsson. I think that he's had a real tough season. How you, you know, how you take a player like that who scored 28 goals last year and ultimately bury him the entire year is head scratching. It is. He's obviously, having spoke about him in the press conference, it's, he's got to be the ultimate true professional to be able to sit through an entire season and basically get buried and still come to the rink with a good attitude. And I know that Kevin probably would have done his best to try and move him out, but maybe there was just no takers because he hasn't played enough. He hasn't played enough to garner any value. But I would have liked to see Victor Olsson have an opportunity to go someplace else and play. Zemgus Girgensson, I can understand why he didn't get traded.
Why?
Longest stint. Well, because Terry Pegula probably nixed that deal. Yeah.
No.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. There's no reason whatsoever.
There's no time for humor right now.
Well, listen, I mean, there's no reason for Zemgus Girgensson not to get moved.
I don't understand. I don't understand how he did not get moved.
Terry Pegula. That's how he didn't get moved.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
Well, how many times have you heard?
He has seven
goals. How many times have you heard that Terry Pegula is in love with this guy? Terry Pegula ends up signing Zemgus Girgensson to a $2.2 million 3-year deal years ago when he was probably worth $1 million a year. And everyone's scratching their head going, how is it possible that he's making that much? And then all of a sudden last year, you have Zemgus Girgensson make $2.5 million, which is like even more head scratching because Zemgus Girgensson is not a player that you should be paying $2.5 million to. And why are they continuing? And I'm not saying that Zemgus is not a solid hockey player, okay? He's a fourth line hockey player in the NHL. And there's teams out there that I think that would love to get their hands on Zemgus Girgensson.
Would have cost them $1 million something on salary because the Sabres would have picked up half the retention for sure. For sure. Like, it's not that much money to pick up. Kevin said he mentioned salary retention in his press conference. So to me, not seeing Zemgus traded is the biggest head scratcher of this entire. We knew Kyle was going to get traded. Okay, yes. We knew that.
Yep. I'm just going to say, why didn't he get moved then? Because when you listen to Kevin talk, he's talking about, you know, he had discussions with Zemgus Girgensson, sat down and talked about, you know, probably the future, and they can have discussions when the season's done. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Zemgus Girgensson easily, and I mean easily, could have got traded. Easily could have got traded to many, many teams. There would have been a lot of teams that would have been very interested in Zemgus Girgensson. Why is he not gone? He's not gone because they want him back.
Do you know why he's actually now? When you say that, it clicks for me to what I think it could be. They don't know who the fuck they're going to have here playing next year. You just lost Kyle. He's gone. He's not coming back. Okay. Just lost Casey. You just lost Casey. You don't know if you can replace him yet on the market.
Well, you don't know if you can replace him, but you got Peyton Krebs there.
I understand. Hold on. I get it. Fine. But now Peyton Krebs slides into that spot. So Zemgus now slides what into the fourth line spot? Now you still need another player. So now they're just going to rely on the internal youth that they have. Or they're going to have to trade some draft picks with some of these young prospects to fill the void.
Well, let's just say Zemgus Girgensson comes back. You know, Kevin, by not moving him, has very, very clearly shown his cards with Zemgus Girgensson, that he does not want to trade him, that he does want him back. Zemgus has been here a very, very long time. he's only 30 years old. So he's not old. He's got many years left in that body.
Okay.
So you're factoring him back next year.
I am strongly factoring him back as the third line or the fourth line.
Even as a UFA.
100,000. Listen, Kevin Adams is going to want Zemgus back. It's very clear. If you did not trade Zemgus Girgensen at a deadline and you traded away Kylak Poso, you traded away Eric Johnson, Zemgus was the other player that everybody spoke about. Zemgus has been here for a very long time and has not won anything. He has never played in the playoffs. I think Kevin has spoken with Zemgus and probably expressed that, listen, we would like you back. We like your leadership. We like who you are and what you represent. And we would like to have you back. I'm not sure if, and this is just a hypothetical, but by Kevin not trading Zemgus, it shows that that's probably his mindset. Now they'll discuss that at the end of the season. Zemgus Girgensen is an unrestricted free agent that's going to have the ability to sign with many, many other teams. And maybe Zemgus as an individual wants a change, which I would not believe that he wouldn't want to change.
They're even further away today than they were last year at this time. That's the reality. And that's what we have to wait and see what happens in the off season. And like you said, the last 18 games of the year.
Why are they further away? Why do you think they're further away?
They have less players. They have less experienced players. Casey was more experienced than whoever else is playing here now. Kyle was more experienced than every other player they had here. So they're just less experienced. And if you don't go out and bring in experienced players, you're just going to be bringing up players that are inexperienced. And you're just going to have an inexperienced team. And it's going to be one more year of an experiment.
Well, let me ask you this.
An experimental coach.
And I don't know this. But
I don't. So
Columbus or Colorado Avalanche back in the day when Nate MacKinnon first came into the league. And do you remember that one year that they were so god-awful bad? It was like, I think they had like 48 points or something like that. It was like something like, holy crap, man. Like, you have to be insanely, insanely bad to have a record like this. Do you remember that? And then like 2 years later, they're literally exploded onto the scenes. I sit there and I think that this team is not far off an explosion in the standings.
Okay.
And I know Don Granato and I know that Kevin Adams, and you've listened to pressers and the press conference from Don. I've listened to Don Granato almost every, and a lot of it is trying to keep his composure, which I think he's done a very, very good job. I think this team is still very green, but has learned a lot in the last 2 years, even though that we're not going to make the playoffs. There's going to be a point in time when this team does click in a little bit and win closer games. Do you understand? Just through maturity. Like, Rasmus Dahlin's been in the league for how many years now? Six?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, he's going from a very, very good player, and he is a very good player, but he's learning. And I know he's not learning from anybody because there's no one to learn from him because they're all so young. But Dahlin is only going to continue to get better. He's 23 years old. And same with Samuelson, and same with Bowen Byram, who's 22, and Owen Power, who, to me, I think has struggled a little bit in his year, but I think he's going to be a completely different player in 2-3 years from now. I think he's only going to get better. He's got a long road ahead of him of continuing to get better. Where a person at 29, 30, 31, 32, they're not getting better. They're trying to hold what they have as long as possible, because then you're going to get a dip in a lot of players' play once you start hitting, you know, the mid to early 30s, you're starting to go the other way. You're starting to go downhill.
So right? So Kevin shot down shopping again, brought up the word shopping about Mittelstadt in his press conference. I think it's absolutely hilarious. I just want to say I've thoroughly enjoyed watching him go on many different media outlets and shoot down the word shopping. Because either way you spin it, I was sitting here, I've been thinking the entire time after he got traded, all I was thinking was, I should have just used the word available. I should have just used the word available. Because that still would have been the first time anyone's heard that Casey Mittelstadt is actually available. But so regardless, I just think it's been hilarious that just watching shopping get shot down even after the trade. Alex Tuch was also asked about he buried Elliott. I mean, he said that, you know, he had received a call on Tuch. And then he read in 32 Thoughts that Sabres were taking calls on Tuch, and he denied that as well. So he buried his boy Elliott.
But taking calls and having someone call him, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Just ask the lawyers at Salino Law. They're taking calls all the time. Car crash, personal injury, 888-888-8888. That's who you call. Call Salino Law. Well, I think basically it was that the Sabres were taking calls on Tuch when that wasn't true. He was, you know, he took a call, or there was a call on Tuch.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. He's, yeah. Tuck's not. So, but I'm pretty sure Tuch has known, probably just based off how he worded it, that he wasn't going anywhere for probably a week or two anyway, right? He's probably known, like, hey, listen, we're not trading you. And why would you trade him?
Would never trade him. Never in a million years trade him. Now, well, here's the thing. He's got 40 points, 17 goals, and 57 games. He's hopefully going to end real strong and, you know, finish his season with, what, 25 goals and, you know, maybe 55 points, like real solid season. But I think Alex Tuch is one of the pulses of the team. He's an older guy on the team. He's still young. He's 27, which I would consider still a younger player. But he's one kid that you're absolutely not trading. You're absolutely not trading him whatsoever. You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close. Are you happy with how Don Granato, the decision that he made to put Jeff Skinner basically on the fourth line? I will just say, you know, Don Granato made a move that I don't think he's made all year. And that was to basically bury Jeff Skinner, pulled the old Ralph Kruger and put him on the fourth line. It's sending a message to a player that is your highest paid player. And the reality is, if you watch his game, like, fuck, he should have been on the fourth line or even watching in the stands a long time ago, because they're not winning games because of play like that. And Jeff Skinner has done it for every single game of the entire year. So I don't know why he's being sat and summoned to the,
because of what happened in OT against Toronto. I think,
well, he shouldn't have been out in the OT. So we should be fucking burying, we should be burying Don Granato and tell him to sit in the stands for a game, because Jeff Skinner shouldn't have been on the OT. It's not his style to be in. It's skating. It's skating and fluidity and understanding about, you know, you have to defend 3-on-3. Can you imagine that? Jeff Skinner, 3-on-3, trying to defend. He has a hard time staying in his small little area in the defensive zone and covering his point man, let alone now you have Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner on the ice that are like crisscrossing and flying all over the ice. It's the last guy you would want on the ice. So I would be shame on Don Granato for even putting him out there. That's just not his game. But Don Granato, put a smile on my face. Holy shit. Don Granato's watched Jeff Skinner basically float around for I can't even tell you how long. He doesn't fucking back check. He doesn't work.
I don't want to do this, Craig. I'm not doing this. No,
well, I'm just going to say, we're talking about softness. Don Granato made a decision. Sit the highest paid player.
Yeah. Well,
bury him on the third. Why can't you at least acknowledge that that's a good thing?
Oh, I can't. I was very happy with that.
Okay, good. As we got to tear him down when it's time to tear him down, we got to praise.
It's just long overdue. I mean, so it's
long overdue
to do it now. It's like, great. It's like, great. Good for you. You did it now. I'm really happy for you. I'm really fucking happy for you. He'll be back next year too. And he'll have a younger team. He'll have a younger team because now the team is even younger. No Kyle, no Eric Johnson. You traded out Casey and you brought in a 22-year-old. How old's Rusick? 25, 26?
24.
Okay. So are we the youngest team in the NHL as of today? We could be.
We were the youngest team. I think we were tied with Columbus. We're like very, very close, with Columbus
team officially by
but
now.
But we are insanely the youngest team after the trade deadline.
We could be the youngest team in NHL history. We have to look that up. Time now for another edition of Crash Course presented by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino 888-888-8888. A couple debuts for the players that were traded for each other. Bo and Byram had a debut in Nashville for the Sabres, 4-2 loss, but he played very, very well with a goal and an assist. Casey Mittelstadt played last night, had a little over 13 minutes of ice time, no points. Curious to get your thoughts on Byram's debut, but also Mittelstadt's had a couple zingers in the media. Hey, have you heard a couple of his comments? He had the comment about, it's the hardest morning skate I've had in a long time. Most I've sweat in a morning skate in a long time, he said. And which I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but the word around town is Donnie's practices are a bit of a joke. And then he said yesterday, and people are taking this a little more to heart. They asked him about the atmosphere and the environment. He's like, yeah, there's a little more filled than where I'm used to coming from, you know, where I was coming from or Buffalo or whatever he said. And that's, and people are biting on that thinking that it's a shot at the fans. It's not, it's just the reality. The team sucked. The building's been half full for 5-6 years, and that has to be a completely different experience for him. So to be on the side of the full stadium, it's a little bit different. It's an honest answer. Yeah, it came from Buffalo, man. Haven't made playoffs in 13 fucking years. Had about 8,000 people at every game, but they announced 12 for some reason. It is what it is. So don't take that to heart. Don't pin that down on Casey and make him look like an asshole because he's being asked questions and he's answering them honestly.
Well, I think there's, I read that about Casey saying, I think that was the hardest or the most I've sweat in a pregame practice. And the first thing that comes to mind.
Optional.
The first thing that comes to mind is, oh, like he's shooting down, you know, Don Granato's practices. And then all of a sudden you take a second to think about it. He's in Colorado. You know how the elevation is a lot tougher to play in, right? So there's a transition there. I'm sure that he did sweat his ass off because he's working harder. His heart's working harder because he's in a situation where the elevation does play havoc on your body. So maybe that could, maybe if you were to ask.
Well, and also on that team, he's not Casey Mittelstadt, leading scorer of the Buffalo Sabres, who's got a big game tonight. He's Casey Mittelstadt of the Colorado Avalanche. He's a fucking nobody. He's a nobody on that team right now. He's got a lot to prove. So maybe he was pumping a little harder that day with the altitude than he was in most mornings because he wanted to prove to Jared Bednar, Gail McCarr, Nate MacKinnon, all the guys that have won the trophy.
I've been traded in season, and it's very nerve-wracking. going from one team to another, showing up in another building, getting your routine down, meeting new players, you know, getting on the ice with new colored equipment. There's so many things that are firing through the brains of these players that I can imagine that Casey was sweating a little bit harder because he probably worked a little bit harder. He probably was really excited to get into that lineup, right? So for the most part, you know, I'm happy for Casey. I really am. I think he's done a great job maturing his game here in Buffalo. I wish him all the best. Pretty damn happy to get this Bowen Byram kid, because I think it's going to be a really, really key piece for this team moving forward. But let me tell you something, Kevin Adams and the staff, they've got work to do, and they've got awesome, awesome pieces. They've got an awesome nucleus of younger players, but they need to surround these players with a little bit more maturity and a little bit more grit. And can be one.
Byron looked
team.
Unreal in his debut.
I thought he looked real solid. You know, I thought he looked really solid. I again, very nerve wracking. It's nice to see him. I think it was the second shift of the game. Rifle that one home and get that. I'm sure that's a huge, huge relief. And then he obviously made a beautiful play to, who is it? Owen Power, I think it was.
Yeah. Owen Power.
Two defensemen pretty much damn near leading the rough. You got Bowen Byram, who's driving wide on the right-hand side, and you have Owen Power, who's driving the nets. So it's like, you know what? We'll take it. They're going to be fun to watch, because Bowen Byram, man, he can skate like the wind, and really good addition for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, Kevin mentioned in this press conference about him that it was really important. Obviously, you know, reference he was a left-hand shot, but that he likes to play the right side and how important that was in this deal. So, listen, I was skeptical of the deal, and one game doesn't do anything, but I'll tell you, when you're getting a player of that caliber in a one-for-one trade, I have to imagine, I know Casey Mittelstadt's a center, I know he's going to be going and playing a second-line center role. I know that Bowen Byram is probably slated as a second-pair defenseman on this team, but I think you got the better. I think you got the better player in the trade, period. For their position,
yeah.
I think
Time will tell, right? I think Casey will do very well in Colorado. Bowen Byram here in Buffalo, we have a legit top four defense that are going to eat minutes like crazy, and they're super insanely young. Like,
that can play the right side. That's the crucial part of this. To take the shot out of the equation, you've always been fixated on the left-hand, right-hand shot, and I've always kind of said, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, left hand, if the guy can play and he's more comfortable on that side, yeah, who cares?
Back when I played all those years, a righty lefty were the staples. You would have the odd guy in the game, you know, 20 years ago that could play the offside. But there seems to be more and more and more kids nowadays that come up through the ranks, that these kids are, they're rovers. They're such good skaters and so highly skilled that throughout their youth hockey and into junior careers, these kids have played both sides of the ice. They're playing their offside, and there's a lot of players. And I've said this before, my cousin, Mackenzie Weegar, who's a right-handed defenseman, he prefers to play on the left-hand side. So there's a lot of players out there. Don't look at righties, lefties. Rasmus Dahlin came from Sweden, played in the Swedish Elite League. He was a right-handed defenseman.
I can see all the benefits in the world of playing your offside.
Yes. Yes.
I truly can. I mean, and I'm not going to get into it, but we had a great conversation about it as left-winger, right-winger, as a left-hand shot left-winger, yeah, versus a left-hand shot right-winger. I would have much rather played right wing. And Vanek and Roy and I, we got into the actual breakdown of receiving pucks and rims and all that stuff. And the same goes for defense. And there's one more element factoring into this, I should say. These kids nowadays are so skilled, it doesn't matter what side they play on. They can handle pucks on their forehand, backhand, make passes on their backhand, take passes on their backhand. It's not uncommon for them to do that. So stop being so fixated on lefty-righty. Have a great day. That'll do it for this edition of Crash Course, presented by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, 888-888-8888.